This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. All praises due to Allah, who is magnificent in his essence, perfect in his attributes, undeniable in his presence. All praise is due to Allah, who has the most magnificent names, a praise that he eternally remains. May he send peace and blessings in their most perfect fashion. May he send greetings and salutations that are complete and everlasting upon the best of his creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May he perfect his rank and elevate his station, for he taught us what we did not know. And he gave, and he gave, and he gave because he loved us so. Number one, I want to thank you guys from the beginning for having the One Ummah conference in the summer. Takbir. You know, usually these cold weather places, they have their conventions during the winter when everybody wants to stay indoors. So every time I go to Minnesota, it's in the winter, 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 winter. And so I'm just thankful that Calgary, Jazakumullah Khair, that you guys have this beautiful event during the summertime. And I was telling the brother who picked me up, I was telling him, you know, I'd really like to be able to walk to the venue today. And he was like, are you sure? It's really, really hot outside. I was like, it's 70 degrees. It's not really hot. I'm coming from Texas. It's okay. I know you guys probably have a heat advisory and things like that, but it's not hot outside. And then he was asking me about winter tires. And I said, what's that? And he was like, are you serious? So alhamdulillah, it's a pleasure to be with you all. It's been a couple of years. I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that he bless you and accept from you. Allahumma ameen. So that being said, it's been a while. And anytime I like to come into a community, I like to just get a feel of where everybody's from. So we're going to do this again, inshallah ta'ala. It's been a couple of years. So where are you guys from, inshallah? Yemen? Who's from Yemen here? Just one brother. Okay. What else do we have? Egypt. Who's from Egypt here? Okay, these are the most quiet Egyptians I've ever heard in my life. But okay, very good. What else do we have? Morocco. Who's from Morocco here? Dima Maghrib, mashallah. You guys were all from Morocco 3 months ago, but now you're not from Morocco anymore. Okay. During the World Cup. What else do we have? Yes. Turkey. Who's from Turkey here? Who said Turkey then? You did. Okay. No shouting out somebody else. Where else? Somalia. Who's from Somalia here? I thought it would be more, but it's like 10 people, but they're loud. Okay, what else do we have? Pakistan. Who's from Pakistan here? Okay, got a lot from Pakistan. What else do we have? Yes. Huh? Ethiopia. Who's from Ethiopia here? I heard Sudan. Who's from Sudan here? Okay, what else do we have? What are you saying? Algeria. Who's from Algeria here? Okay, Algeria. What else do we have? Huh? Lebanon. Who's from Lebanon here? Okay, Lebanon. What else do we have? Syria. Who's from Syria here? All right, Syria. Calm down, Syria. Okay. What else do we have? Saudi Arabia. Who's from Saudi Arabia here? Yeah, nobody. Oh, you're from Saudi Arabia? Okay. What else do we have? Huh? Nigeria. Who's from Nigeria here? Okay. Where? America? I don't know what you're saying. This guy keeps yelling Earth. Thank you, Earth. What else do we have? Yes. Palestine. Who's from Palestine here? Is that everybody? Iraq. Who's from Iraq here? Who said Iraq? Yes. India. Who's from India here? Anybody else? Bangladesh. Okay. Yes. Mauritius. Who's from Mauritius here? Okay. We got one brother from Mauritius. What else do we have? That's everybody, right? What are y'all saying? Tunisia. Who's from Tunisia here? Okay. Mashallah. Jordan. Who's Jordanian here? Anybody else? Huh? Albania. Who's from Albania here? Okay, we got Albania. Anything else? Yes. Huh? Al-Jannah? What's he saying? Tanzania, Tanzania. Okay, who's from Tanzania here? Okay, yes. Djibouti, who's from Djibouti here? That's a lot, mashallah. Anything else? Libya, who's from Libya here? Why are you yelling Libya? No, 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 don't yell for anybody else. These guys are just naming countries that they heard of, so I'm not listening to them anymore. Anything else? All the way in the back, yes. Yeah, we said Palestine. We said Palestine, right? Yeah, okay. Anything else? Huh? Are you from Al-Imarat? Are you from Al-Imarat? Okay, who's from Al-Imarat? Even Emirati guy didn't raise his hand. Come on. You're supposed to raise your hand. You're like, woo. Okay. Anything else? Yes, all the way in the back. Huh? What is she saying? France. Who's from France here? Okay. Bismillah. This is gonna not be too hard. Yes, sir. Are you from Chad? All right. From who's from Chad here? All right. Nobody. It's just you. This little kid, mashallah, came from Chad by himself. Nobody else is from Chad here. All right, bismillah. This goes like this. I'll start with Chad. Chad is my hometown. Jerusalem is my heart. I flash a Syrian smile. I've been Egyptian from the start. My kindness comes from Pakistan, my style Sudanese. Yemen and Somalia join two continents at my knees. A Djiboutian mind, Tanzanian legs, Arabian disposition, Moroccan passion. No, we didn't have anybody from Morocco, right? We did. Moroccan passion, Emirati fashion, and Moroccan passion, Emirati fashion, and Algerian precision. Wherever Allah is worshipped are my people. I conclude Canadian cuisine, even though there's no such thing. Hold on. Canadian esteem, French cuisine, and an Albanian attitude. I have history in Iraqi soil and Nigerian sand, a future shining from Khorasan. My present is where I stand. My eyes peer from Kashmir, that's India, or Pakistan. I'm just saying, my eyes peer from Kashmir towards a, what's left? My eyes peer from Kashmir towards an Ethiopian, Jordanian rising sun. My body's indivisible. I'm an ummah of one. Okay? Mashallah, mashallah. I tried to get everybody, but there's too many people, mashallah, tabarakallah. It's a very diverse group. So I was asked to speak about the heart. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says in Surah Al-Shu'ara, وَلَا تُخْزِنِي يَوْمَ يُبْعَثُونَ يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. He's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in his sequence of dua, he says, and do not humiliate me on the day of judgment. On the day where wealth will not benefit and children will not benefit. The only thing that will benefit is those who come with a heart that is salim. Salim meaning salim. Salim meaning free from deficiency. Free from deficiency, number one, in tawheed. Deficiency in tawheed meaning any bit of shirk. That's the first thing we have to purify our heart with. And then number two is we have to purify our heart from all of its ailments and its spiritual diseases. And if there's one thing that I can point to that purifies the heart of Allah subhanahu, the heart of a person before they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is what I want to make the subject of this session, insha'Allah ta'ala. But before that, I want to tell you this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you guys remember when Clubhouse was popular for 2 weeks? Do you guys remember that? Clubhouse was an app a couple of Ramadans ago. It became very popular. And it was an app that was, it was like a social media app where people could join chat rooms. And in those rooms, it was only audio form. And what made it so popular is that the biggest leaders of industry We're joining these rooms to have conversations. And so you could go in and you could listen to Bill Gates have a conversation with Elon Musk. And you might be able to ask a question, or at least, at the very least, the reason why thousands of people were excited to join is because they could be a fly on the wall and they could listen to them have conversations. And I want you to think about how attractive that is. If you could just be in the room when the greatest leaders in the world were having conversations about whatever it is that they converse about. And now I want you to think even greater than that. If you could be in the room when the greatest leaders ever are having a conversation. And fortunately for us, that conversation is actually recorded for us. The two greatest leaders ever, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, met with his father Ibrahim. And they met on the night of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And the hadith is reported by Tirmidhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ascending from one heaven to the next, one heaven to the next. And he's meeting prophet after prophet, prophet after prophet. And finally he meets Ibrahim alayhi salam, his father, the one who he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam physically resembles the most, and the one who made dua for his existence and his arrival. وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ Ibrahim, when he's building the Kaaba, he's making this dua with Ismail. Oh Allah, send for this people a prophet from amongst them who will call them and teach them the book, teach them your signs, purify them. And now he's seeing the manifestation of this dua in the person of his son. But he wasn't simply a prophet sent to the people of Mecca. He was a prophet sent to all of mankind, and he would be the final prophet sent to mankind. And I want you to think about all of Ibrahim alayhi salam's experience, his destruction of the idols, his hijrah in the path of Allah, his debates with kings, everything that he did and he experienced calling mankind to tawheed. Now he has a brief moment to communicate and give advice to his son, who would be the final messenger sent to mankind. What is the weight of the advice that Ibrahim alayhi salam is going to give his son? What is the weight of this advice that he's about to bestow upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? And we get to hear it. So what does he say? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says when he met Ibrahim, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to him, number one, give your ummah my salam. How beautiful is that? That you received salam from Ibrahim alayhi salam. And then he said, and tell them that Jannah is طيبة turba, that Jannah is pure soil. وَأَنَّهَا قَيْعَانَ, it is flat land. It's very easy to plant trees there. It's very easy. The soil is good, and it's not rocky terrain. It's very flat. It's very easy for you to cultivate. وَأَنَّ غِرَاسُهَا, and the way that you plant seeds in Jannah is Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. That's it. That is the advice of Ibrahim alayhi salam to his messenger, to his son, who is the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the final ummah sent to mankind. Say a lot of dhikr. That's how you enter Jannah. So when we talk about purification of the heart, the greatest thing that I want you to pay attention to is what is the state of my dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has not the time come for those who have believed that their hearts be softened to the remembrance of Allah? وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. And let them not be like those who were given the book from before. فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. That they not be like those who were given the book from before and the distance became long for them. They've been practicing for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 2 years. And we all can remember a time, usually when we began practicing or when we converted to Islam or when Islam first started to make sense to us, where your worship had a sweetness, where you enjoyed reading the Quran, where you enjoyed the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you enjoyed the salah, where you were adding acts of worship, you were fasting Mondays and Thursdays maybe, or you were getting up to pray Qiyamul Layl, or you did things that were voluntary because you tasted the sweetness of worship. But then over time, what happens? A person's heart may become hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدْ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. And what's the result of that? وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And many of them were transgressors. Their hearts became hard, even though the outer shell still looked like it was righteous. The beard is still there, the hijab, the lingo. They still might even go to the masjid. They do the outer actions. But on the inside, their hearts are becoming callous, they're becoming hard. And a result of that is that many of them were transgressors. Beyond public eyes, when the doors are closed, they have major sins that they commit. Not only do they not taste the sweetness of worship, but they start becoming loose with the things that are haram. They start becoming loose with limits that they transgress. Maybe even the knowledge that they have learned over time becomes a reason for them to commit major sins, because they have an opt-out out of everything. They have an argument for everything. They have a fiqh position for everything. So they are no longer worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with passion, and they're simply worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of routine. That is a symptom of a hard heart. Sometimes you might find a person who on the outside is very religious, but you don't find them mentioning Allah at all. And so brothers who are religious will sit there and they'll talk about sports for 2 hours. And no one will do the adhkar. No one will say, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. The things that we're taught to say, even in a majlis, in a gathering. These important adhkar that we're supposed to make, we don't say anymore. Some of my mashayikh, they used to say, we used to consider people to be religious, not by the way that they looked, but by the pronouncement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their tongues. It is the greatest act for a healthy heart. And sometimes we overlook the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is so simple and it is so basic. Just like if you were to ask a doctor, what is the exercise that I can do the most over my lifetime that will give me good health? And they'll say something like walking. Just walk 10,000 steps a day. And walking is something that's so basic that a lot of times we overlook it, especially, I want to do something, I want to swim, I want to do CrossFit, I want to do yoga, I want to do something that's more intense. But guess what? Walking, even though it might be boring because of how basic it is something that you can do in your teens, it's something that you can do in your 20s, you can do it in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s. And over the duration of a lifetime, there is nothing that is a single act that more consistently can help a person's health as far as exercise than walking. And similarly, there's no single act that helps a person's spirituality and their heart and that health beyond or more than the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give the prescription of dhikr for everybody who used to complain that they're too old, that they're too uneducated, they're not able to learn. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give this prescription for somebody who was too busy. Dhikr of Allah. A man comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, inna shara'i' al-Islam qad kathurat alayhi. The legislations of Islam are too much for me. It's too much what you're asking me to do. Halal and haram and fiqh, and it's all too much. Just tell me one thing that I can hold on to. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him, let your tongue always be moist with the remembrance of Allah. That's it. Ummahani comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the cousin of the Prophet, the sister of Ali ibn Abi Talib. She comes to him and she says, Ya Rasulullah, I have become old and I've become weak. So tell me something that I can do while I'm sitting down. Tell me something easy that I can do. And the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, say subhanallah 100 times, alhamdulillah 100 times, Allahu Akbar 100 times, la ilaha illallah 100 times. If you do that, no one will have done more than you in this day other than someone who says what you have said and said more. Just say subhanallah 100 times. Can you say subhanallah right now while you're sitting down and listening to this lecture 100 times? Yes, you can. And can you say subhanallah alhamdulillah 100 times while you're walking in the bazaar? Yes, you can. And can you make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while you're performing surgery? I hope you're not performing surgery if you're not a surgeon, but yes, you can. Can you make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your commute? Yes. Can you make the dhikr of... No matter how busy you are, you're not going to be able to go to the masjid all the time. You're not going to be able to volunteer all the time. You're not going to be able to do a lot of things in your life, especially as you go through the ups and downs of a person's life cycle. But no matter where you are in your life, busy mother of five, busy a father of five, whatever it is, you can always exercise the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I can't learn anything of the Quran. Anything. Not even al-Fatiha. Tell me something that I can do in my salah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And the man snatches these words out like this from his hand. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to him, that is for Allah. What's in it for me? And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, say Allahumma hdini waghfir li warhamni warzuqni wa'afini. Oh Allah, provide for me and give me health and give me and forgive me and have mercy on me and guide me. And so then the man snatches it out of the air like this. Now he's got his hands full and he walks away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, amma hadha faqad mala'a yadayhi min al-khair. He says, as for this person, he's filled his hands with goodness. The purification of the heart comes with the dhikr of Allah. You know, if I can go back to that verse, and I just want to continue it, because it's really beautiful. In Surah Al-Hadid, verse 16, 17, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the believers, and he says, has not the time come for those who have believed that their hearts be softened to the remembrance of Allah, and that they not be like those who were given the book from before? فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدِ. And so the distance became long for them. فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts became hard. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. And many of them were transgressors. But then the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives life to the earth after its death. So then the question becomes, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention hearts in this verse, and then in the next verse, it just completely shifts, and he starts talking about bringing life to the earth after its demise? You guys in Calgary can appreciate this. When winter extends for too long, hearts call out for spring. Tired of the snow and the cold, the ice and everything. But there are hearts that are like winter. And they've been winter for so long, hearts barren and frozen, needing for spring to come along. But Allah brings life to the earth after its demise. And so you see, barren places come to life before our eyes, and the flowers bloom again, and the birds return to sing. And Allah can bring life to any heart, turn its winter into spring. قَدْ بَيَّنَّا لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We have made clear for you the signs. Perhaps you'll understand. Just like in Calgary, the longest winter turns into spring. The longest winter that is experienced by any heart can be turned into spring and life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, اللهم اجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا ونور صدورنا. Oh Allah, make the Quran, which is the greatest form of dhikr, the spring of our hearts and the light of our chests. And so the first thing that I want you to know about the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that it is the greatest thing that brings life to the heart. But the virtues of dhikr are much more than that. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and his wife Fatima are sitting and they're talking to themselves, and they're both complaining about the manual labor that they do. Fatima radiallahu anha, she has to grind barley. She's a young bride and her hands are becoming calloused. It's not a good look. And Ali ibn Abi Talib carries water. And so she's complaining about the calluses on her hand, and he's complaining to her about his back hurting because of water. And so Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he tells Fatima, he says, your dad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recently got some servants. So go and ask him for a servant. And so Fatima radiallahu anha, she goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we all know that Fatima is daddy's little girl. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand and he would see her where he was seated sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There was no one who resembled his look and resembled his walking and his talking like no one resembled his walking and his talking, not his look, but his walking and his talking like Fatima radiallahu anha. And so Fatima comes and she meets the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he greets her like he always greets her. And then she asks him for a servant. And the Prophet ﷺ tells her, no. And he says to her, I'm not going to give you a resource that I cannot give to Ahlul Sufa. Ahlul Sufa are the people who lived in the masjid. They're the people who are living on the welfare of the Madani society. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to his daughter, I can't give you a servant if I can't give it to every last person in Medina. She goes back home. Her request was denied. But that night, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he says that when they had laid down to go to sleep, there's a knock on the door. And it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking permission to enter. And he comes in and he says to them, they sat up. He said, no, stay where you are. They're laying down and he stands in between them. And Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu says, I could feel the coldness of the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said to them, shall I not tell you what is better for you than a servant? That every night before you go to sleep, you say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, and Allahu Akbar 33 or 34 times. The narrations differ. He says, that is better for you than a servant. I come and I ask for a servant, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes and tells you to say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times. What is the relationship? How does that solve my problem? The ulama, they said, this is evidence that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens the body. If you're doing work and it's difficult, manual labor, you're cleaning, you're whatever it is that you're doing. You know, there was a brother who, if you guys have ever seen those YouTube videos of guys doing like these crazy like pull-ups, there's this brother who founded one of those groups. They're called the bartenders because of the pull-up bar in New York City. And his name on the street is called Giant. And mashallah, he looks like a giant. When you see him, he looks like he's chiseled out of stone, mashallah, tabarakallah. It's like looking into a mirror. And then, first of all, calm down, brother. It's not that funny. Buna, stop laughing. So we brought him to the masjid. And he came and he took the kids to the playground. And of course, the kids were so excited. And he just started doing all these pull-ups. And he's Muslim. His name is Hassan, but his name is Giant. And so he's doing all of these pull-ups for them. And he's showing them all. And then he says to them, you know what my secret is? And everybody's like, what? He says, my secret is every time I go up, I say Subhanallah. And every time I come down and I go back up, Allahu Akbar. Next time, La ilaha illallah. Like that. He said, that's my secret. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens the body. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the thing that enters the most people into Jannah. Ibrahim alayhi salam gives us that advice. And the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the thing that softens our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of al-dhakirin kathiran. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects a person from spiritual harm. Spiritual harm. You know, every day when you leave your house, shaitan waits outside to punch you in the mouth. Every single time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُهُ عَدُوًا. Allah says, shaitan is for you an enemy. But what's the second part? He says, take him as an enemy. What does take him as an enemy means? It means if you're back at school, and there's someone every day who insults you and ridicules you and harms you and takes your money and all that type of stuff. And then that person is telling you, oh, no, they're just kidding. They're my friend. It's like, they're not your friend. They are, if that's how a friend treats you, then you don't need enemies. That is an enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you shaitan is an enemy. So what should you do? Take him as an enemy. What does take him as an enemy means? It means fight back. It means protect yourself. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that when you are leaving your house, that whoever says, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. If you say these things, then it is said to that person, in the name of Allah, I rely upon Allah, and there is no source of transformation or power other than Allah. Number one, it is said, Hudit wa kufit wa wuqit. You have been guided, you have been protected, and you have been sufficed. وَتَنَحَّ عَنْهُ الشَّيْطَانُ, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says. And shaitan departs from them. It is as if shaitan is waiting outside your door as soon as you leave to attack you. But when you make this small dhikr, you are protected from shaitan. Could you imagine a police officer going out every day and they don't have a bulletproof vest? Wait, in Canada, do you guys have bulletproof vests? Police wear bulletproof vests? Just checking. But could you imagine how silly, crazy that would be? Like, this world is a dangerous world. You're dealing with criminals and you're not wearing a bulletproof vest. That's incredibly reckless. But for us, we are in no less danger spiritually than that person when they go out into this world. We are in incredible spiritual danger every day and we go out without any vests. That vest is that dhikr that you make. Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah wa la hawla. And you're just hoping not to get stabbed by shaitan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Salama says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would hardly leave his house without looking up towards the sky and saying, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an adilla aw udall, aw azilla aw uzal, aw adlim aw udlam, aw ajhal aw yujhal alay. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from four things. That I slip or be made to slip. Or that I oppress someone or that I be oppressed. Or that I misguide someone or that I be misguided by anybody. Or that I be ignorant or that someone act ignorantly towards me. These four things. But Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say them when he's leaving his house, recognizing the importance of daily protection from ignorance and shaitan. Finally, the homework from this session is very, very simple. To increase in our dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more, to create for ourselves a daily devotional. Every day, hold yourselves accountable for doing some of the adhkar of the morning. Hold yourself accountable for doing some of the adhkar of the evening. There's a million YouTube videos, you can watch any one of them. Protect this heart of yours. Make sure that you are constantly diagnosing your heart by seeing the sins that you do in public and private. And always increase Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in asking Him to make you of those who remember Him, make you of those. Final hadith. But it's a beautiful one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Ya Mu'adh, I love you. So do not forget to say after every salah. Do not forget to say after every salah, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, assist me in remembering you. I can't remember Allah. I can't be of the dhakireen if Allah doesn't assist me. So what do I have to do? I have to ask Allah. And when do I ask Allah? I ask Allah after every single salah. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrik. Oh Allah, assist me in remembering you, number one. And number two, if I remember Allah, what's that going to inspire? Shukrika, it's going to inspire gratitude. And so, assist me in remembering you and thanking you. And then if I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's going to happen? Allah says, وَإِتَّأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَأَيْنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you show gratitude, I will increase you. And so, what will Allah increasing me lead to? حُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. Allah will increase me in beautiful worship because I just thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the worship that I had. I just remembered Allah. So remembering Allah, thanking Him, and worshiping Him beautifully, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to be of the dhakireen, to make our tongues moist with the remembrance of Allah, and to make it the sweetness of our existence. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَثِيرًا.